Nowhere that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down. Nowhere that we...
What is up, everyone? My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Will Power Podcast. Today, we have a very special guest, and her name is Lisa Lee. And Lisa is actually a fifth-generation artist, and her roots go all the way back to the mural painters of Northern Italy, which is very special. And on top of that, her work currently revolves around narrative portraits and also wildlife art. And she is also currently writing a book going over what she's been doing in the past. So I'm super excited for that book to drop going forward. So with that being said, Lisa, thank you so much for joining my podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
My pleasure. So to start off, I kind of want to go into your background a little bit. So can you explain a little bit where you've come from, what you've done in the past, and why you decided to become an artist in the first place?
Okay, well, I come from a family of artists. It goes back five generations to mural painters in Northern Italy from Biella and Livorno. And, you know, throughout these five generations, it's trickled down to me. My parents were both artists. They met at the Art Students League in New York City. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed inevitable. I just, you know, from the time I was a little girl, I was always, you know, wandering into my father's studio, like some big mystery was happening in there. And I was always mesmerized. My father was always a realist artist and painting representationally. He did do a lot of narrative paintings, but then he specialized in harness horse racing and standardbred, thoroughbred horses. Mm-hmm. He had a wonderful career. His work is in the Saratoga Hall of Fame and the Goshen Hall of Fame. And my mother was an art teacher for over 40 years. Wow. And she's a floral watercolorist. And her mother was an artist as well. And interestingly enough, my grandmother, her name is Edith, who's, God rest her soul, she went to Cooper Union in the 1920s and was not allowed to graduate. Women weren't allowed to graduate back in the day, which was a shame. Wow. But she also was a teacher, and she taught Lucille Ball's children in New York City. I don't know if I'm dating myself, if you know who that is. Lucy.
I do not.
Oh my gosh, the I Love Lucy show. Wow, I'm getting old. So anyway, art was all over my family. So I just knew from the time I was a little girl, this is what I wanted to do.
Gotcha.
So yeah, so my path has been a little windy, but I'm back on course. When I was younger, I went into graphic design and became an art director. I used to run and design entertainment magazines in the Northeast. I was good at redesigns, logos, and running the magazines that were wonderful to do at that time. And then my husband and I, we came down to Florida with our son, who was about a year and a half at that time. And 4.5 years into the plan, God had another plan. And I lost him suddenly. He had a heart attack. So, you know, I typically don't like talking about it, but it is part of my story. So I have to talk about it. You know, it was a big challenge for me to go through. That, you know, there's always things that I go through with it. I have two wonderful, amazing children, a son and a daughter. And I got back on track because what happened was I became that full-time mom. There was, you know, nothing that I wouldn't do for my kids. And they became the forefront of my life. So anyway, now that they're older, you know, a number of years ago, I decided to get back into art. And one day I was listening to a Billy Joel song. I think it was about Vienna. And I don't know, something about the words, you could do what you want and you could just get old. And I was like, you know what? The time is going to pass anyway. Why not go for it? So I'm going for it.
That's awesome.
And so anyway, right now I'm currently a teacher also. I teach at the Coral Springs Museum of Art, and all ages, anywhere from 5 through adults, all kinds of classes. And I also teach, students, via Zoom. private lessons, and I'm working on my own body of work besides doing my commission work, portraits of people and their pets. I am working on my own body of work that is, you know, to me, what I consider empowering art, to give others strength, courage, and hope, and also show them beauty. You know, there's a lot of distractions in the world. There's a lot of crazy things happening in the world. And I kind of want to remind people in, you know, like a friendly reminder of the natural beauty of the world around us. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that is a, you know, it's a fantastic background. And just like you're talking about, you really have the artist blood within you. You know, fifth generations is pretty impressive. I don't know how many people out there can say that they got five other generations out there that were artists before them. So that is super cool to kind of see. And then with that being said, obviously you grew up around art, you decided to go into that. You know, and like you said, you kind of went through the graphic design route to begin with. Yeah. So when did you officially start to actually, you know, be doing your own portraits and actually going out there and selling your own artwork and really venturing into that side of it, besides just going down the graphic design route?
It's always been interlaced throughout my life. I never stopped completely doing it. I always kept skin in the game. And I think that's important for people to do, even if you're sidetracked. And like I was, you know, the sudden loss of my husband was so unexpected. Yeah. So I always kept skin in the game by doing my artwork, I kept the portrait commissions always rolling and interlaced throughout my life. So I feel like I've built a reputation of doing that. But I guess it was probably about 8 years ago that I decided that I'm going full blast into this thing. And I've slowly been building up, and I enter a lot of international and national competitions, trying to place my stake in the world someplace. Yeah. Hopefully people will connect with my art. Yeah. I got into the wildlife because it's something that I've always really loved. My family took us on a lot of trips throughout the United States. They would just stick us in a car and we would go, and you know, they would take us out to, you know, Yellowstone National Park. We were out by the Rockies, and you know, we used to hike a lot in Bear Mountain, New York, and they took us on a lot of those things with nature. And for me as a little girl, there it was just so exciting to see, like, in nature, not in a zoo, but to actually see, you know, bear or a moose or elk or, you know, wild buffalo, like just wild animals or eagles flying throughout. It was really exciting to me to see that in nature, not in a zoo. So I've always been drawn to it. And as I've gotten older, it's pulling me in like a magnet. One of my pieces that I'm currently working on is it's a big buffalo head that's like really cropped in, and I'm calling it grit because I feel like we all need, you know, grit in our life. There's times where it's, you know, smooth sailing, but then there's times that you need grit. So hopefully it will be a nice reminder for people just to always remember it's important to have grit too.
Yeah, very important. And that's what I love about art as well, is that you can look at one painting and get 1,000 different emotions from, or 1,000 like feelings out of just looking at that. And so with that being said, when you do most of your paintings, do you have a common theme that you try to translate to people that are looking at your art, or what are you trying to convey to them when people look at your wildlife photos or your portraits?
Yeah, so I try to, you know, first, you know, show people beauty of the natural world around us, but I also want to give people, you know, that strength and hope and courage and grit to be fearless in your life. You know, they always say, you know, what would you do if you weren't afraid? You know, there's too many people afraid to take that chance. And, you know, I guess I'm more of a risk taker. And it is a hard life to be an artist. You have to, like, really love what you do. People think it's easy street and we're all like, you know, flowers and bliss, but it's hard. If you want it, you got to go after it and you got to work hard for it, for sure.
Yeah. And just like a lot of things, you know, if you want to make it succeed, that's not going to happen overnight. It might not even happen the first year, the second year, or the third year, but maybe that fourth year is when you have that breakthrough moment. And I know specifically in art particularly that it can take a long time to get your name out there and become like a well-known artist per se. So I'm just curious, like from your perspective, how do you really stay motivated as an artist to keep going out there and keep producing these amazing wildlife portraits or other portraits, even though maybe like nothing's really taking off at the moment?
You know what? I really, I don't know. I just, the more you dig in, the more it blossoms, I feel. I just, at this time, I'm so motivated. I'm constantly, you know, working around the clock, whether I'm teaching, I'm doing my own work, I'm doing commissions, I'm writing my book. So there's like, I don't know, it's like, it's just building up. And I just, you know, I have a list of all my future paintings that I'm going to do, and I need to photograph for those. I don't know, I'm on a roll right now, so I'm grateful for it. You know, I'm not saying that I've never, I didn't have an artist block, because all of us, we get artist blocks from time to time. But right now I'm in a good space, and I'm just rolling with it. I'm grateful. I'm always grateful. I'm grateful to be in this space of like, I really know what I'm doing here and know what I want to do, where I want to take it, I should say.
Right.
I'm also forever the student, you know, so I'll never say I know everything. I'm constantly learning, and I'm learning from a lot of other artists. There's a lot of amazing, wonderful, big artists out there that I'm just always like, wow, I'm so inspired by them all. So I just keep going.
I love that. Well, if I was as good as painting as you were, I would definitely be that inspired too. But unfortunately, my painting skills are not up to par as they should be. But with that being said, so what I also love about art is that you guys are basically entrepreneurs as well, right? So you guys have to go out there, put your name out there, really get your products out there as well. And that's kind of like a different side of the business, right? You got to wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
Business for yourself. So I'm kind of curious, how did you learn how to actually do that, set up like your website, get all your paintings out there, and really get your name out there to like start entering these shows and really get your business off the ground in that perspective?
So what I did was, when I was first starting out, you know, in my older years here, I started following a lot of artists and befriending them. And I learned a lot through them, you know, what were they painting? What was their subject matter? What was their style? You know, what galleries represented them? What shows did they enter? National, international, regional. And I started, you know, really learning what websites, you know, were, you know, did they use? And I just started digging in and networking. That's like the biggest thing I could possibly say about everything, research and networking, and, you know, getting yourself out there a lot on social media. That's a big thing. And just meeting new people all the time. And I also like to have like my tribe of artists around me, whether they're close around in my area, in the South Florida area, or they're national, international. I have art friends all over the world, and I think that's really important, as well as my tribe of my people around me that would be my frame distributor, my local framer, the person that scans all my art. You know, it's really important to have that tribe around you. So, you know, it's faster. You know, they know your work, you're working with them for a long time, and you establish, they become like a family, you know, which is really nice. So,
sure. And so I love that. And so for aspiring artists that want to be in composition that you're in, where you're kind of going out there, you're moving all these paintings, as you know what to do with it, the whole process, what would you recommend for them to be doing? Like, how's that process actually work? Like, once they actually finish a painting, who should they have helping them out? Like you said, distributing, all that kind of stuff. Like, who should their circle be? Where should they be distributing? All that kind of stuff.
So I would recommend for any, you know, young artist starting out, that after they complete their work, to either have it, you know, professionally photographed at a high, you know, high resolution, or I prefer, I have all my drawings and my paintings scanned at a professional place. They're usually like sign places that work with, you know, doing signs, and, you know, artists with scanning. It's a big thing. And they do giclées also, which is another part of the business, the reproductions, which I also do, various different sizes. So that's one thing that they need. And then they also need a website. My website is Faso, And I love Faso. They're a great website for artists. I totally recommend it. It's just F-A-S-O. And it's pretty easy to build your website through them. And they're very helpful. They're always, you know, there if you need any help building it. So that's one thing. And then as you're starting out, you start out with like local, you know, shows and competitions, and you just start building from there. And after you start doing all the local shows, I would also recommend getting on social media, whether it's Facebook, it's Instagram, are two big places, also LinkedIn and Twitter. I really say that for me, Instagram and Facebook are really, and LinkedIn are three great sources. And then as they're building, then they could start doing, you know, they go from, you know, your local county competitions and local galleries, and then you build to regional and then national and then international is kind of fun to compete with all that. Yeah, for sure.
Right. So you're talking about, you start at the bottom, really work your way up in those events, and obviously you get better over time. So in your life right now, how many of these events do you go to? Like weekly, are they like once a week or twice a week? Or what does that look like for you? Like all these international events or local events or?
They vary, you know. And then also what happened was during the pandemic, a lot of the shows became virtual online shows. There's a lot of online virtual galleries. So even though I can't go to a lot of them, like I'm in shows that are out in California right now, and I'm in shows that are local in my county, and I have upcoming shows that will be in New York City. So, you know, sometimes I can get to them, sometimes I can't, you know, right. You know, I'm not like flying out to California or whatever, but, you know, it varies. It's interlaced throughout the entire year. It's hard to say how many, but you know, I have one coming up locally on May 5th. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And you're busy, right? So you're also teaching, like you mentioned, and doing some other stuff with it. So
yeah,
it's a lot.
I like to go to the big ones if I can. I like to go to the one, there's always one in New York City at the Sal Magundi Club that I love to go to. Yeah. But they've also started going online, and all the winners now go to the Butler Museum of Art. So I don't know. Wish me luck. Well, I'm going to enter this year. We'll see how I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm sure you'll do great during this contest. And so, yeah, so going forward for you, I mean, what are some stuff you're currently working on right now? And what are some goals that you hope to get accomplished within the next couple of years? I know you mentioned to me before, you got something going on with SpaceX too. So if you want to touch on that, I think that'd be.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool too. So there was this platform of competitions run through poets and artists and 33 Contemporary Gallery, which is online. It's a very beautiful, nice, you know, prestigious gallery. So there was a couple of competitions I tried to get into and I wasn't accepted. And I was like, wah, wah. So I saw that there was one right at the beginning of the pandemic called Sheltered. And I literally just finished a painting of a woman that I knew from town that used to do my nails. And she had this wonderful demeanor about her. And I photographed her looking out a window. I took like 200 photographs of her and she was looking out the window. So I called it Beyond the Window. And the meaning behind it is, you know, you never stop dreaming beyond that window. Never, ever give up on your dreams. And so the theme call for this was called Shelter. So in direct response to the global pandemic. So I thought, well, maybe I got a shot, you know, so I'm going to go for it. So I was fortunate enough to get juried into this competition and had this, you know, online presence at this gallery, 33 Contemporary. And little did I know that this would end up, I was notified like a year later that it was going to be saved. It's getting so big. I think it's like, I don't know how many countries now, and artists and poets and writers are all involved in this, but our artwork is being saved on a nickel fiche file that's going to be going up with SpaceX and going to be implanted in a time capsule in the moon. Supposedly it's been pushed off a number of times, but hopefully it'll be this summer. I'm hoping, hopefully it'll be 2023. And then next year in 2024, November, NASA will be involved and there'll be another time capsule and they have their rover and on the moon. So that's pretty exciting, you know.
That's awesome.
To be a part of it. I never even thought I'd be, you know, intergalactical now, you know. Right. You know, right. You know, so that's something else to talk about for you know, any artist, you know, take a chance, you know, you never know. I mean, I had no clue that this would blossom and come out of that, which is really kind of neat to be part of this history. So I'm excited about
that
it.
That is so cool. So essentially what they're doing is they're putting this different art on this time capsule, right? And then they're gonna, are they gonna bury it on the moon? Is that what?
Yes, yes. It's like, really
like some aliens find it like 100 million years from now, right? Like,
yeah, who knows? It's supposed to be read in like it's supposed to be able to be read in any language. It's kind of cool.
That's, you know, crazy. Who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, right?
Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah, I didn't realize they did that. You know, and the, you know, luckily, hopefully it wasn't on the last SpaceX rocket that tried to go up, because that one blew up. So hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah. This is a first. This is a first. This Dr. Samuel Peralta is spearheading it. Okay. He's, you know, written all these books. He's been on the number one bestsellers list. He's, you know, spearheaded this whole thing. So thank you, Dr. Samuel Peralta. This is so exciting to all of us artists, and I'm just happy to be part of it.
Yeah, that's a cool piece of history. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the more personal side, like, what are some personal goals that you want to get accomplished, like within you and your art career, the next couple of years, would you say?
So I, you know, getting this book published, this is a big forefront of my life right now, and a solo exhibition, a traveling solo exhibition that I want to do for my personal body of work. So those are two big things for me. And I just continuously enter, you know, all these competitions trying to, you know, make my mark in this world. And, you know, so that's really what I'm working on. And whatever, you know, the commissions come through, I always take them. So any folks out there that, you know, would like something to collaborate on, or a portrait of someone, or even a memorial, I do a lot of memorial portraits, you know, which is a very, I consider a very special honor to do that for somebody. I take it very seriously. And I always try my hardest to capture that person, the essence of them, in the very best way, and get the best likeness that I possibly can, and get the best of them, you know, because it's a luxury to have a portrait done. So when you do have a portrait done, you want to look your very best. So I always bring out the best in anybody doing that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
And out of curiosity, how long do these portraits normally take you to complete?
You know, it depends. You know, it really, really depends. It varies. You know, it's a question that people say all the time. How long does it take you to do that? Yeah. And I'm like, a lifetime. It took me a lifetime to get here.
Right.
So I usually have multiple projects happening at the same time. So, you know, I'm working on this grit painting, and, you know, it's, you know, a few weeks. So it's kind of like a 3-week project for me. Gotcha. Last year I had a double portrait commission that Gloria Gaynor graced me with. I was so, felt so blessed. Her pastor, A.R. Bernard, and his wife, she wanted to, you know, gift them this portrait. So it was a double life-size portrait. So that one took me a full month to do the portraits, have it scanned, have it framed, have it shipped up. So that was my turnaround time for that one. So when it's like really official like that, when it's a single portrait, it's much quicker, you know. So
it always comes with the creative process, right? So it takes and it's got to take a lot of time, right, to do it correctly and, you know, have it professionally done, obviously. So that's cool. Now I want to switch topics here a little bit. I'm just kind of curious to see what your point of view is on this particular topic. So what do you think about the use of AI in art, and how do you think they're going to be kind of going along together into the future? Because I'm sure you've heard about AI and stuff, everything that's going on right now. So how do you kind of see them playing together in the future?
I see it interlaced. I see it, you know, we're, you know, technology's moving at light speed and so fast. I see it all interlaced. I see people still wanting original artwork. I see it, you know, it's like people reading books, you know. I'm currently listening to Matthew McConaughey's Greenlight on Audible, right?
Yeah.
But I still like a tangible book in my hand. I like to turn the pages, you know, or a magazine. I still like that, but it's interlaced, right? So I do like to read a book in my hand, and I can listen to it on audio, right? It's the same thing with art. People still like events and things to go to. People still love going to galleries, still love going to exhibitions and museums and getting out of their house. And also, I think it's really nice to have an original piece of art in your home, something that's meaningful, or it could be a big landscape of, you know, a place that you visited. I also love to do landscapes for people or seascapes, you know. Occasionally I'll be commissioned with an abstract. I don't have it on my website, but I do it.
Gotcha.
But I am a representational realist artist, so that's what I enjoy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was just curious because I've seen a couple of news articles now where there were like state fairs, art shows, stuff like that. And some of the people that won have admitted that they won by using AI actually to generate the art. And I just thought that was super interesting.
It is interesting, but like the competitions that I enter, they'll specifically say, you know, no digital AI art.
Okay, so they got rules like that.
There's like, yeah, the higher that you go in these competitions, they're like really, really specific. You know, they will say only original art. You have to, you know, take the photography. It's all your concept, all of that, and no computerized generated art. So, but yeah, I think there's a place for everything.
Yeah. Is there a way to tell though, like if someone did it by AI or by actually doing it? Just out of curiosity, like, is there a way you can tell?
I could tell. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
Snuff them out.
Right. Yeah. I'm just saying because it's interesting, you know, because like you said, technology really is changing. So it's going to be cool to see how the art industry really transforms with AI as well. And maybe AI can just be like a source of ideas, right? And then you guys can then actually make the paintings based off those ideas and, you know, different perspectives like that. So
yeah. For sure.
It's going to be cool to see.
Yeah. Like a lot of artists, we, you know, sometimes we'll do our, you know, we do our own photography and then we'll take it into Photoshop and we'll play with it and put different backgrounds or coloring on it. So it's a nice tool to use, you know, and I say we're living in this time and day and age, we have Photoshop. Why not take advantage of that and, you know, try different backgrounds or different scenes in it, try to figure some things out, you know, before you get to it, you know, sometimes I'll take pictures because I mainly work from photography. Mm-hmm. I do like to work from life when I can. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, a buffalo isn't going to sit for me.
Right.
Or a grizzly bear, but yeah, I say, you know, why not take advantage of, you know, trying to figure some things out in Photoshop from time to time. Why not?
Yeah, 100%. So I really enjoyed the conversation today. And before we hop off, I just got one more question to kind of ask you. So going forward for you, how do you really see your art changing over the next couple of years? Like, do you plan on staying in the wildlife industry or do you want to go other places with it? What does that look like for you? And then if people want to reach out to you, how can they actually go about finding you?
Okay, so to start, I'm on social media. You can find me through Lisa Botto Lee. So that my maiden name is B as in Bravo, O as in Oscar, T as in Tango, T as in Ted, O as in Oscar, L-E-E, Lisa Botto Lee. So that's my website as well, lisabottolee.com. Instagram is Lisa Botto Lee. Facebook is Lisa Botto Lee. My LinkedIn is Lisa Botto Lee. My Twitter is Lisa Botto Lee. It's the same all across the board. And, you know, anybody that wants to get in touch with me, you can email me to lisa@lisabottolee.com. And yeah, so right now I'm currently working on this body of work of wildlife and narrative portraits. An area that I'm interested in as well is Native American Indian art. I really, really love it. I kind of feel like it's all nature and all kind of intertwined in storytelling, and I like that. So that's something that I could see myself getting into as well, for sure.
That
maybe,
is awesome.
Maybe sculpture. I don't know. I really like that too.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So. A lot of roads to go down. You know, a lot of choices.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, if anyone remembers anything, it should be Lisa Botto Lee, right? So make sure to find your website. Yes. So.
That's a big takeaway.
Yeah. So. All right, guys. So with that being said, that's it for today. Lisa Botto Lee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Will. Thank you.
No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gon'